Topi jana bala ba kirvana dare Topi jana bala ba kirvana dare Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Topi jana bala ba girvani rahi Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Om Vishnu Parada Paramahansa Parada Vajakacharya Asa Tata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnu Parada Paramahansa Parada Vajakacharya Asa Tata Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Anata Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Chiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Gir Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi All glorious to the assembled devotees All glorious to the assembled devotees All glorious to the assembled devotees All glorious to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga Glorious to Shri Baba Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. And we're reading text 65-66. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishir Vinirgame Kamso. Vishir Vinirgame Kamso. Yadun Matva Shuran Iti. Yudan Matva Shuran Iti. Devakya Garbhasambhutam. Devakya Garbhasambhutam. Vishnum Cha Svavadam Prati. Vishnum Cha Svavadam Prati. Devakim Vasudevam Cha. Devakim Vasudevam Cha. Nigriya Nigader Grihe. Nigriya Nigader Grihe. Jatam Jatam Ahan Putram. Jatam Jatam Ahan Putram. Tayor Ajana Shankaya. Tayor Ajana Shankaya. Rishir Vinir Game Kamso. Yudan Matva Suraniti. Devakya Garbhasambhutam. Vishnum Chasvavadam Prati. Devakim Vasudevam Cha. Nigriya Nigadir Grihe. Jatam Jatam Mahan Putram. Tayor Ajana Shankaya. Please chant. Ladies. Of the great sage Narada, Vinir Game, on the departure after giving information. Kamsa, Yadun, all the members of the Yadu dynasty, Matva, thinking of, Suran, as demigods, Iti, thus, Devakya, of Devaki, Garva Sambhutam, the children born from the womb, Vishnum, accepting as Vishnu, Cha, and Svavadam Prati, fearing his own death from Vishnu, Devakim, Devaki, Vasudevam Cha, and her husband Vasudev. Nigriya, arresting. Nigadai, by iron shackles. Grihe, confined at home. Jatam, each one who was born, one after another. Ahan, killed. Putram, the sons. Tayo, of Vasudev and Devaki, Ajana Shankaya, with the doubt that they would be Vishnu. Translation. After the departure of the great sage Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Fearing his death, Kamsa arrested Vasudev and Devaki and chained them with iron shackles. Suspecting each of the children to be Vishnu, Kamsa killed them one after another because of the prophecy that Vishnu would kill him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his notes on this verse, has mentioned how Narada Muni gave Kamsa this information. This incident is described in the Hari Vamsa. Narada Muni went to see Kamsa by providence, and Kamsa received him very well. Narada, therefore, informed him that any one of the sons of Devaki might be Vishnu. Because Vishnu was to kill him, Kamsa should not spare any of Devaki's children, Narada Muni advised. Narda's intention was that Kamsa, by killing the children, would increase his sinful activities so that Krishna would soon appear to kill him. Upon receiving the instructions of Narada Muni, Kamsa killed all the children of Devaki one after another. The word Ajana Shankaya indicates that Lord Vishnu never takes birth Ajana, and that he therefore appeared as Krishna, taking birth just like a human being, Manushim Tanum Ashritam. Kamsa attempted to kill all the babies born of Devaki and Vasudeva, although he knew that if Vishnu were born, he, Krishna, would not be killed. Actually, it came to pass that when Vishnu appeared as Krishna, Kamsa could not kill him. Rather, as foretold, it was he who killed Kamsa. One should know in truth how Krishna, who takes his birth transcendentally, acts to kill the demons, but is never killed. When one perfectly understands Krishna in this way, through the medium of Shastra, one becomes immortal. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evo evam yo veti tatvataha jakto deha puna janma naiti mameti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Translation again. After the departure of the great sage Narada, Kamsa thought that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods, and that any of the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Fearing his death, Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki and chained them with iron shackles. Suspecting each of the children to be Vishnu, Kamsa killed them one after another because of the prophecy that Vishnu would kill him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Bhutavaya Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminithyani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vachani Nivashesha Sunivadi Vasudevi Sthani. So most of us, or probably all of us in the here that I'm seeing in the room, are familiar with this story of the appearance of Lord Krishna. So finally, we now have the actual event of Kamsa killing Vasudeva and Devaki's children. And when I first read this to prepare for class, I was taking the viewpoint of a mundane person hearing this story. And I just wanted to be super clear that typically transcendental personalities such as Narada Muni do not encourage people to commit sinful activities, especially this most unbelievably heinous crime of killing babies. But the secret that Prabhupada reveals in the purport is that just by understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance, he says that we will become immortal. I mean, this is really a huge secret, an open secret, and but it's still amazing. It's still really amazing that simply by hearing these pastimes, learning these pastimes of Lord Krishna's appearance, and understanding them with the transcendental vision, that this is the secret for never having to take birth again. Now, Narada Muni never would have advised that these children be killed if he wasn't sure what the result was going to be. And the result was that Kamsa had then accumulated so many, he was already sinful, but the increased sin of killing all these babies, it was like, if you can imagine a fulcrum, like a seesaw that goes back and forth, it was like pushing over the sins to the point where Kamsa was then, that Krishna would appear sooner, more quickly, to be able to kill Kamsa. It was like it just tilted over in that direction. But still, it's an amazing event that Narada would want to speed it up. I was also thinking, like, great devotees are serving Krishna, whether Krishna's there or not. I mean, personally there or not. Just like we're serving Srila Prabhupada as his servants, we're serving usually in separation, even when Prabhupada was on the planet. 99% of the time, the devotees were serving him in separation. At the same time, like seeing Srila Prabhupada personally was amazing. It was really enlivening, and it was like nothing we'd ever experienced, seeing a person who had so much charisma. And so in the same way, we can understand that transcendental personalities such as Narada wanted to personally serve Lord Krishna, and he just wanted to speed things up, bring him to this planet more quickly. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, explaining the transcendental activities. In the previous verse, he was also quoting from the fourth chapter. Because in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly explains to Arjuna about his appearance. He says, Ajo pishyan avyat yatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim sva adishtaya sam bhavam yatma mayaya. This is 4:6. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So Narada Muni was very clear that Lord Krishna was going to appear. If he wasn't sure that he would appear, he wouldn't have encouraged the killing of babies. He knew what the result was going to be, that Krishna was about to appear, and he just wanted to speed up. And why does Krishna appear? Yada yada yidharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam adharmasya tadat manam shijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So this accumulation of sins is this decline in religious practice. Already the residents of the earth had prayed to Lord Vishnu to Krishna appear, because there was just so much sinful activity. And again, this is just escalating that. And again, Krishna continues to explain, Parichanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yage yage. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna is explaining, you know, why he appears, under the circumstances he appears. And also Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna can't be killed. So looking again at the translation, Kamsa, one of the things Kamsa thought was true, that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were demigods. That's true. But then he thought the children born from the womb of Devaki might be Vishnu. Even though he knew the eighth child was the one, still he bought into what Narada was saying and thought, well, maybe any of them could be. So we've been building up to this event of shackling Vasudeva and Devaki, and then in the verse he's actually killing him. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Kamsa it's explained that Krishna can't be killed, one of the reasons Krishna appears is to kill the many demons. And of all the demons that Krishna killed, and he killed quite a few, but of all the demons, I think we'll agree that Kamsa was considered to be the greatest of all the demons. So, just by knowing this, that Srila Prabhupada is assuring us, he says, through the medium of Shastra. So it's important that we understand clearly what the Shastras say. But through the medium of the Shastra, we become immortal just by understanding Krishna's appearance. I wanted to understand clearly how did these six sons of Devaki, how did they get the bad karma of being killed like this? It was the six were the ones who were killed, and then the seventh was the one that was transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, magically or transcendentally transferred, and she gave birth to Balaram, and the eighth son was Krishna. So there were six sons of Devaki who were actually killed. I found that the story of, well, later in the Srimad, in the 10th canto, when Devaki, at one point Devaki requests to be reunited with her sons. And this story not only is told in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Chaitanya tells the story in the Sri Nityananda Charitamrita. Because a Brahmin was doubting the character of Lord Nityananda. And so in the Sri Nityananda Charitamrita, it says, those criticizing an exalted person without knowing his glories suffer miseries life after life from this fault. Even if an exalted person does something improper, what to speak of criticizing him? If one even laughs at him, such a person is doomed. Srimad Bhagavatam describes all these truths. One can also hear this from the mouth of a bona fide spiritual master. Listen attentively to the results of laughing at the behavior of an exalted person described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm sorry that I'm reading this, but probably the story is just told so well that I'd rather give you all the details correctly. So the story from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once, Krishna and Balaram went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni to study. After completing their studies, they wanted to go home. They asked their teacher, what dakshin should we give? Does everyone know the word dakshin? It's like a gift. It's a gift to a teacher. It's like, you could say it's payment for, but it's really a gift from the heart, and because the teacher is giving us knowledge, so then we're reciprocating. They asked their teacher, what dakshin should we give? Typically we think of dakshin, by the way, as money, but in this story, it's not money. It's service, you can see. So after consulting his wife, the teacher asked Krishna and Balaram to bring back his dead son. Krishna and Balaram started at once for the abode of Yamaraj. After destroying all the child's karma, they brought the boy back to their teacher from the abode of Yamaraj. When Devaki heard of this most wonderful incident, she too asked Krishna to bring back her dead sons. One day, Devaki addressed both Krishna and Balaram pathetically. Though the son of your teacher died long ago, you brought him back by your extraordinary potency. So both of you, please fulfill my desire to bring my six sons back. After hearing Mother Devaki's request, Krishna and Balaram left at once for the abode of Bali Maharaj. There was many, many, when they saw Bali Maharaj, he offered many, many prayers. Then he says, Lord Krishna, exceedingly pleased with Bali, began to explain the reason for his visit. The Lord said, listen, Bali Maharaj, the sinful Kamsa killed my mother's six sons. Thus, he also finally died. Remembering her sons, Mother Devaki continually cries in lamentation. Those six sons are with you, and I want to take them back for the pleasure of my mother. Those six sons are actually perfected demigods, grandsons of Lord Brahma. Let me explain to you why they had to undergo such tribulations. These six sons were previously the sons of Prajapati Marichi, a son of Brahma. Once, Lord Brahma was bewildered by lusty desires and shamelessly chased his own daughter. Seeing the behavior of Brahma, the six sons of Marichis laughed at him. Because of this fault, they at once fell from their positions. Since they ridiculed the activities of an exalted person, they were forced to take birth among demons. Leaving their demigod bodies, they took birth in the family of Hiranyakashipu, who terrorized the entire universe. They suffered various miseries and were ultimately killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, these six sons of Marichi took birth from the womb of Devaki. Simply by laughing at Brahma's misbehavior, they incurred so many sinful reactions. Thus, they had to undergo these punishments. From their birth, they suffered unlimited distress. Although they were the nephews of Kamsa, he killed them. Devaki is unaware of these mysteries. She simply cries, considering them as her own sons. I wish you to return these six sons to my mother. That's why I've come here to you. Drinking milk from Devaki's breast will release these six from Brahma's curse. Lord Krishna continued, O Bali, consider the consequences of ridiculing a Vaishnav. If perfect personalities like these receive so much misery, what will be the fate of ordinary men? A sinner who criticizes a Vaishnava suffers misery birth after birth. Take this lesson to your heart. Never blaspheme or laugh at a Vaishnava. If one worships me and chants my holy names, but blasphemes devotees, he'll be vanquished. Those who show love and respect to my devotees will surely obtain my favor. There is no doubt about it. Bali Maharaj was very pleased to hear the teachings of Lord Krishna. Obeying the Lord's order, he at once brought the six sons and offered them to the Lord. Krishna and Balaram took them and returned them to Mother Devaki. When Devaki saw her sons, out of affection, she happily fed them breast milk. Drinking the remnants of Lord Krishna as Devaki's breast milk, they were filled with transcendental knowledge. They promptly offered obeisances to the Lord, falling flat on the ground. Everyone witnessed this. Lord Krishna, glancing mercifully on them, began to compassionately instruct them, O demigods, now you may return home. Never blaspheme an exalted person again. Lord Brahma is the energy of the Supreme Lord. Even if he acts wrongly, one should not blaspheme him. You have suffered so much by ridiculing him. Now give up such a mentality. Go to Lord Brahma and beg his pardon. You'll then regain your happiness. The six demigods offered obeisances to their mother and father, Devaki and Vasudeva. Then, offering their obeisances to Krishna and Balaram, they returned to their heavenly abode. So the story, when we hear stories from the Bhagavatam, it's not just on one level. There's like the story behind it, and in this case, the story behind that. Like this, there's reasons why everything happens. So we can understand that when things happen in our lives too, that there's reasons. The lesson here, though, is so clear: to avoid laughing or blaspheming a devotee. And this is so relevant in our lives today, because unfortunately, the internet offers a way for people to, there's good things that we can let people know about, like the temple newsletter, for instance, that informs us about events to come so that we can plan our life around attending. For instance, Sachinandan Maharaj, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj is coming, and we want to know so that we can be sure to attend his seminars and get his association. And there's so many other venues, ISKCON News and so on. I mean, there's just a lot of wonderful things that we can get from the internet. And at the same time, sometimes we hear people blasting devotees. And the warning is here to avoid even laughing at a devotee. I mean, look at the results that these six sons got. Like lifetimes of suffering. And, you know, the lesson that from the Nityananda Charitamrita is that if this is going on with great personalities, what to speak of us? Look, we have no idea how much suffering there will be from blaspheming. I mean, I'm talking mostly to myself because I have this tendency to criticize. And at the same time, I know that by seeing the good in others is really the way to go. There was a book that many women devotees read many years ago about husband-wife relationships. It was kind of a Christian-based book. But something along the lines of what really works with men, which is a more modern version. But the lesson that I'm remembering is that the wife was told to write down all the good qualities of her husband, and then on a separate list write down the things that she didn't like. And then holding them next to each other, you just put your hand over the things you don't like. You know it's there, but you're covering it up. And you just look at the good things. And it was an instructive way to look at life. We can know that maybe there's things to be criticized. Maybe we, you know, maybe somehow devotees have some degree of fault. But not to concentrate on that. To see the good. I often look at the potential that we have here in Alachua for spreading Krishna consciousness, and I'm always waiting for the day that we do become that exemplary temple. We already are in so many ways. You know, in size, we have more devotees in this community than any in North America. And we have the most incredible festivals. We have the most beautiful deities. I mean, even look at Srila Prabhupada today. Look at how he's just wearing three rose garlands. I mean, he just looks fantastic. And, you know, every day, the deities are dressed to the highest standard. I mean, it used to be like New York and LA used to have a competition who could do the, you know, most elaborate deity worship, the most opulent deity worship. And I don't really know what's going on in those temples these days. All I know is that Radhe Shyam, I think, are at the top of the charts. If there is a competition, if it's a competition, it's transcendental. But, you know, Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balam, Gornitai, I mean, every day are just a feast for the eyes. I mean, they just are incredibly wonderfully taken care of. I would say that what we could improve on is perhaps communication among each other and willingness to serve. In other words, there's sometimes I have heard the leaders say nobody wants to do anything. I'm not saying this is a true statement, but it's like a perception of the way we see each other. And I don't buy into it really, that no one wants to do anything. I personally see that we all want to serve. And we may not always, some devotees are coming forward, what can I do, please engage me. Whereas others just need to be asked. And then there's another group that need to be encouraged. And when they're encouraged, then what happens when we're encouraged? We're more willing to serve. And the result, when we all serve together, like when we are doing, preparing for a festival, and we're doing some service together, it's just absolutely wonderful. There's such a wonderful camaraderie. And eating prasadam together, like at a festival time. I mean, typically, you know, because we're all grihastas, mostly grihastas, we're all, you know, going off to our own homes. But But when we come together and experience that camaraderie, then we get enlivened from each other. And so I'm not saying that I have answers, and I definitely don't want to be criticizing. I want to be part of the solution. And so I will open it up to questions and answers and discussion on what can we do to increase the enthusiasm of the devotees. Like yesterday, we were hearing about increasing sankirtan, going out on the streets and doing sankirtan, and I'm pretty sure that as a result of that Ramiya's class yesterday, that there will be some increase in sankirtan, because it obviously is so easy. All you need is a pair of cartels, or even just clap your hands and just go onto the streets of Alachua and start chanting Hare Krishna. But if you do it as a group, of course, it's more exciting. And I'm sure that will happen. So thank you very much, and I'd like to ask for other ideas from Ramiya Prabhu.
I was wondering, you very much appreciated. What would you say are the elements of a successful festival?
Why don't you tell me what you?
No, you're, Andy, you're very happy with it, so I want your description.
I'll just tell you my view. I'm sure others, I think it's a personal thing what we think. To me, it's the seeing so many devotees coming together and worshiping. It's the enthusiasm of the kirtans, and there's so many things, so many events going on, like the new outfit that's offered to the deities, and how it obviously pleases devotees. I personally like the so many increased opportunities to be involved, like there's fire sacrifice going on, the bathing ceremony. I could say I have some ideas of how to improve certain things, like the bathing ceremony. To me, unless all the devotees bathe, I think there's something missing. I guess it's because in the early years when we bathed, we had a bathing ceremony for the deities, that was the standard. And somehow in recent years only, they've cut it back to only the pujaris. And I think that's not, to me it's not the standard. It's frustrating to me. But anyway, that's my opinion. I'm sure there's other people. Other people have their view. Mahananda Prabhu.
I'm just thinking about that idea of finding fault with devotees and how hard it is, because it's a symptom of material consciousness that we're envious. And when we're envious, no matter how we try not to find fault, it still comes back because it's our nature. And one of the qualities that's described in the Gita for a devotee is aversion to fault finding. So it's a natural quality for a devotee when he develops his Krishna consciousness. Then over the years, gradually, as he becomes more Krishna conscious, he will develop an aversion to fault finding, but it's a gradual thing. And when a person is very Krishna conscious or completely Krishna conscious, and he won't criticize others. But along the way, you know, we used to do this thing: whenever you found fault with someone, you have to immediately talk about five good qualities of that person. And that worked pretty good, you know. No matter how hard it was sometimes to think of the five things. Anyway.
Thank you, Mahananda. Actually, I just wanted to say that I took a Lakshmimoni's class that she taught last week, teacher training level two. And whenever we were giving feedback to others' presentation, the formula was always a sandwich. You say what you liked, you say what could be improved, and then again you say what you liked. And that's, I mean, I like your idea too of say five good things, but the sandwich cushions the room for improvement area. It wasn't criticism, it was always room for improvement. And that's a different view than criticizing. But thank you.
I can say from personal experience that if you want to minimize your fault finding of devotees, is to live without the association of devotees. You won't find fault with them. And then when you do associate with devotees, you'll realize how special they are. You take something away from someone and then they realize how special that is. So the devotees are very special. That comes from knowledge, comes from realization, comes from understanding that someone who has taken to the path of Krishna consciousness is not an ordinary human being. And you go live with the association of karmis. It's like Rupa Goswami was always, because he had to associate with non-devotees, he always felt so humble and contaminated. So you, living with devotees, you become uncontaminated. If you live with them, if you serve them and understand who they are, they will be purifying for you. So that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you. Guru Prasad? And then Madhura.
I keep hearing this statement, if you want to see a change, you know, change yourself. They say if you want to see a change in the neighborhood, change yourself, and then you'll see a change. That's one thing. Another thing is, I notice when you do service with the devotees, there's not so much tendency to criticize, you know, because you're fully engaged. I mean, like, I'm on the altar quite a bit, and I cook quite a bit. And when I'm busy cooking and the devotees are helping me, I really appreciate that, you know, what they're doing. Because, you know, you're so trying to please Krishna and their mind is so busy trying to do what you're doing that you don't see the faults. You're just appreciating somebody come in the kitchen and help you cut your vegetable and, you know, you're really appreciating it. And so I think when you do service together, the more we're engaged, maybe the tendency will be less to criticize.
Yeah.
I mean, at the altar, you would never think of criticizing the devotee when you're touching Krishna's lotus feet and putting his clothes on. You're appreciating what the other devotees are doing. In fact, more than appreciating, you just think, oh, if I could serve them.
Thank you for being such a good example. I know whenever you're here, you're just like so fully engaged.
I appreciate you talking about social structure. It's really important. Something I've done in the past is, if I see a devotee, you know, it's usually we're criticizing a devotee because they're having a problem or they're going through something. So to think if I was put in that same situation, I would be much worse off if Krishna was testing me the same way. And also thinking on that platform, usually we're criticizing because we're identifying the other person as their body. We're not stepping into the first teaching of the Gita where we're not this body. So this is really important for our social structure of devotees, that we're seeing other devotees as a spirit soul, and we're identifying that they may be going through something on their spiritual journey, which is good. Anartas are coming up. There's an opportunity for purification. And if we're seeing that, we should actually see that this is part of Krishna's blessing them, part of their shower, part of their process. So we have to check, how am I actually seeing? What perspective am I seeing from? Am I, How am I identifying with that other person? And then we try to remember, ah, well, devotees, the symptom of devotees, compassion. Mm. Am I actually coming across with compassion towards others, or am I just trying to see the negative? So it is tough to be a Vaishnav, and I'm an aspiring Vaishnav. I'm not a Vaishnav, because Vaishnava means you're following four regular principles, no illicit sex, you're not fault-finding, you have very good control of the mind. We may be aspiring Vaishnavas, and it's also, I think, very purifying, and it elevates us when we even think that way. Well, I'm aspiring to be a Vaishnava, because Narada Muni is a Vaishnava, Prabhupada is a Vaishnava. It's very rare to be actually very, you know, elevated Vaishnava. So we want to always, I think when we get this conception that I am a Vaishnava, we can become complacent and we're thinking, ah, I can criticize others. So pride can creep in. Anyways, these are my
I just want to say about compassion that, like, that's the quality that Srila Prabhupada had that was just so, I think of the good qualities, Prabhupada, that's the first one I think of is compassion. It is so missing in this world. We are over time, but, okay, because it has to be quick. By the way, when they say temple pujaris, they don't mean all the temple pujaris.
No.
No, only some. But they a few times of the year, like maybe, twice a year? They figured it out. There's a few times of the year they will let all the devotees bathe. I'm not saying it's bad and wrong that they don't let everybody bathe. It's just, I think they should. I mean, like in Mayapur, it's only the pujaris. I'm telling you, I'm a regular pujari. I'm not asked to bathe.
No.
I haven't been asked to bathe, no. I regularly go on the altar. It's maybe if you know, something that could be brought up to the temple board to increase the number of times when there's bathing ceremony, that it'd be for everyone to bathe. If anybody listens, well, let's increase the communication. If it increases the enthusiasm of devotees, why not? I mean, that's the way I see it. Anyway, that's my two cents worth.